Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour. It is October 8th, 2015, and I do many interviews during the week on political, social, political, economic issues. And so on the show here, I'm going to concentrate on science issues. So you can hear my voice all over the radio, many different countries, actually. But tonight's main science topic, I'll be talking once again about the Mars issue, but physically, how does a passing comet remove atmosphere from a planet? I mean, that's a pretty big order. This, for many people, it sounds possibly unbelievable, and it is a rather unbelievable issue. But you have to understand the forces out there are immense. These are things that the average person is not familiar with. And so that's why I'm going to concentrate on that particular topic. But first, a few announcements. First of all, I'm going to have a little multiplication problem, which I'll tie in at the end of the show. And let's do 2 times 2. Gee, that's 4. I hope everybody got that one right. Now multiply 4 times 2. That's 8. Multiply 8 times 2. That's 16. Multiply 16 times 2, 32, 64, 28, 256, you get the idea. And so if you multiply 2 together 8 times, well, let's do 7 times, you get 128. That's a nice number to stop at just for this example. Now let's take 5 times 5 is 25, times 5 again is 125. So that you can see that you can multiply 5 together 3 times and get 125. That's almost the same number as 7 times 2 multiplied together 7 times. And so what does that mean? Well, I'll bring that into the show a little bit later, but this is what we call exponential growth. And so anyway, we'll talk about that in a while. I put a sale on the sales page, and the two things that I put on sale are probably the two largest selling items. One is the stainless steel water filter. It comes with 4 GF filters, and then the 10-pack of GF filters. Those are probably the items that people choose most when they buy water filter elements. Then you have all the other ones. You have the plastic containers, you have the filters that are not that do not have internal filtration. Some people live on a farm and they're not, you know, they don't have an issue with chemicals in the water. The GF filters are primarily for people who live in the city, which is really about everybody out there today. But like if you're up at the cabin or something, you know, you typically don't need the GF filters. Although I should say, arsenic in groundwater, underground water, water that comes from wells or whatever, arsenic is a problem everywhere, especially in the United States. There's a lot of arsenic in well water, whether it's from your city. That's a very complicated story. And they have like legal limits that have been set. But the end result is most people, if you're using well water, you probably have arsenic. So even if you live in the country, you probably need the GF filters also. And the option for the other filters is an add-on filter. Okay, so I won't talk any more about that. But the just for a week, I decided to greatly reduce those prices. And here's what's going on, just to be blunt with you. The economy is stalled. I mean, we're heading into September. Typically, this is the time when things start picking up in the world economically. You know, kids are back in school. Everybody's, the mom and dad are back working. You know, they're not on vacation anymore, running around all summer trying to enjoy the summer wonderful weather. And today we have some other issues going on, like the entire eastern country just got flooded out of existence. Which brings up the point, were these manipulated storms? I don't know. I don't have an answer definitively yes. it was considered a thousand-year storm. Well, that's kind of like Noah's flood. I mean, we're talking Noah's flood-type conditions here, boys and girls. Not really Noah's flood, but because Noah's flood went on for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, and that's a good example. Look at the flooding damage that happened in the 2 days. It was mainly 2 days of rain. Then there was other rain that came before and after, but primarily 2 days of torrential rain. Imagine that going on for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we're talking serious rain. And you have to ask yourself, how could that happen all over the world? Well, I explained that in my 2-CD set, The Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters. Actually, it's called The Physics of Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters, 18 hours of MP3 lectures. But the Noah's Flood was obviously, when you understand how things work out there, the result of Earth going through a comet tail. And you'd think, gee, well, comets are these little snowballs. You know, and that part of my lecture tonight is to hopefully make you understand how ludicrous the science is that you've been taught and what the real story is. The Noah's Flood is not even taught anymore. It's completely taken out of any books that kids learn when they're growing up. So the last time it may have been taught in schools may have been 50 years ago, and probably only in, say, Catholic schools, where they were teaching the Bible and Noah's Flood and all of that. They actually taught it. I mean, when I was a kid, and I'm, you know, that's speaking about my education back in the 50s, yeah, the Noah's Flood was actually taught. A friend of mine's wife down in Florida taught honors level history in a high school, one of the big Florida high schools. And one time I was visiting and I opened up the history book there, and I went, of course, right to the very beginning, and I started looking, and I'm kind of looking at to see how they cover these topics. And of course they talk about man coming across the Bering Strait and populating the Western Hemisphere, things that we absolutely know 100% sure could not possibly be true. I mean, there may have been some people that wandered across there, sure, but that isn't what populated the Western Hemisphere, not by any stretch of the imagination. The Western Hemisphere was heavily populated like the rest of the world prior to the Noah's Flood. We know that. But how many people even think of that? And so here's an event, 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain all over the world, and modern science tries to point out this story. Oh, it was just a mudslide over in the Mideast or something. You know, some completely ludicrous statement. But, you know, no, 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain. I made a calculation once that if we had passed, Earth, that is, not just you and me, but the entire Earth, had passed through the tail of Comet Hale-Bopp, it would have taken around 40 days and 40 nights, and we would have had torrential rain, and that is exactly the situation. We spent that much time in a comet tail. Not only did it rain, but if you were in the right places, that could have come down as snow, which would have created the great glaciers that right now are melting. And so that was one of the great events. And so these major comet events, now some people that might be listening that are new or haven't read my books to understand the physics of the plasma discharge comet model and how the sun works, they're used to listening to what I call fairy tale science, the standard story that's pawned off on you by the scientific community. So that's what you have to shed. Also, the Moses event, and this is what Velikovsky talked about, one of the greatest scholars in all of history. And as soon as he came out, he was challenged, but it wasn't until into the 1970s that he actually got going. So what'd they do? They surrounded him with a bunch of nutcases. And that's not the only reason, but that's one reason why I work alone, is because they're constantly trying to infiltrate anybody who makes any statements. Now, this actually leads to tonight's program a bit, because I have a major announcement tonight regarding Velikovsky. Now, if you haven't heard of him, goodness, people, you have to start waking up in the world and stop listening to the History Channel. Velikovsky, in the 1950s, wrote three books. They were published in about that time frame. The first one, 1950, called Worlds in Collision. And literally, the worlds really didn't collide. They just passed by each other in the night, and the devastation was huge on planet Earth. And so that was the entire story. But out of this story also came a little side note, a little kind of a side issue, that this large comet came by the planet Mars. Before it ever got to Earth, it was working its way through the solar system, coming inwards. Mars is the next planet out. And prior to that, Mars had been a blue planet, a Earth-like water ocean planet. And the ancients saw the comet come by Mars and basically pull its atmosphere and oceans off. They saw this. These people were very observant. They were people who watched the night sky constantly. They didn't have video games. They didn't have nice houses that's sitting in there watching television at night. They were out there looking at the sky, and especially the scholarly people who understood this issue about comets. They also understood that the history of comets told them that they were the dangerous things. The Hopi Indians, they said the blue ones are the dangerous ones. Well, I now know from my studies that the blue ones are the ones that are a very severe electrical discharge through the comet, and they literally light up like a light bulb. So you see, for example, that modern science denies that comets light up like a light bulb. And when they discovered X-rays in comets, something I predicted with my very early work from 1979, when I published my work, I said X-rays in comets will be the absolute indicator that comets could not be dirty snowballs, because how do these little puffy snowballs develop X-rays 30,000 miles out to the sunward side of the comet? When they were discovered in 1996, there was a rush to create a cover story. A cover story that couldn't possibly make any sense at all. But that soon becomes the accepted theory, and what you see in science all through the ages is that when a concept comes out that's actually correct, it gets stuffed. It gets sidetracked, and some other theory gets put in its place. Plate tectonics is another great example, where all supposedly these plates move around and cause earthquakes, and there's subduction of one plate under the other. Looks great in an artist's conception drawing in a textbook, but the reality is that it doesn't work. There's so many stories, but back to Velikovsky, my major announcement tonight about Velikovsky is that not only was he buttonholed, sidetracked, or whatever you want to call it, because his findings were at odds with standard science, and that's always been the standard story. Oh, NASA, bad guys at NASA, conflicted with their theories, etc. But that's not the whole story. In fact, some of the biggest Looney Tunes on the planet are Velikovsky supporters. And let me just say, I've said this many times before, when I was at Cornell University in 1979, I had been out of the country for a long time. And I didn't know, number one, about the Velikovsky controversy, which had just gotten completed, and Velikovsky then had died just shortly before that. I didn't know about any of this, so I wasn't aware. So I come into Cornell, backyard of Carl Sagan, who was off at the time I was there. He was off in Hollywood filming the Cosmos series for 2 years. And so that was his reward for burying Velikovsky. And once again, this was posed as a conflict between Velikovsky and Carl Sagan and the boys, the geology and the evolutionary biology, etc. Stephen Jay Gould representing evolutionary biology, etc. But all of that is one issue. Those are the scientists. But what was the core issue? The core issue, what I'm finding out now and discovering as this Mars recent announcement of water on Mars by NASA, which was really a non-announcement. You have to see my webpage for more information on that. But the water on Mars is recent. The scientific data is unequivocal. The vast amounts of water on Mars are recent. And what is NASA showing? A couple pictures, a little teeny coloration off a cliffside. They don't even know if it's water or not. They suspect it is. And there's evidence that it is. And, you know, maybe it is. But there's not enough water there to make a diddly darn. You certainly couldn't wash your face with it in the morning. So where what they ignored were all the vast ocean areas, all of the vast river areas and the erosion and the weathering areas of Mars. Of all the thousands and thousands of tens of thousands of pictures they have of the surface of Mars, that's what they present to the public. Total misinformation, total distortion of the story. What's the real story? Recent water on Mars. And so when they presented that story of water on Mars the Monday before, which was September 28th, it was all part of the Pope being in the New World, basically signing the UN agreement, handing over you, the workforce, with the Pacific Accord, 40 other nations signing this. It's already been put through. Congress is going to vote it in, just like all of the other international worker accords, making the U.S. worker equivalent to basically all the other low-income workers in 40 other countries around the Pacific Rim, Latin America, and I don't know why they call it the Pacific Accord, because it really includes Latin America, which most of those countries are in the Atlantic side, but basically making the American worker a pawn of this international workforce. So now there's the leaders and the workforce, communism, exactly what is going on. And that's what the Pope was here for. By the way, the Pope was here. He was going to make an announcement that they've had alien contact. But the Pope had a little bit of a problem because he couldn't get past the pedophilia issue. He was being cornered on that, so he wouldn't have looked very credible if all of a sudden he comes out and says, "Hey, I'm the Pope, and we've been talking to aliens." After the decades and decades of complete anti-alien, having like crazy lady talks to alien Planet X stories and, you know, on and on. This especially there again, going back to Carl Sagan. He was on Johnny Carson's show. I remember seeing him and he goes, "I don't have time for such foolishness. Like, Carl is so important with all of his important research. He didn't have time for silliness like the alien issue." Once again, stuffing this topic away from the public. And I think most people out there in the public know that something's going on, but the government's been hiding it. All of the major programs, the release of information from the government to the public, all of these organizations have been totally, totally infiltrated. And that's the key word here. And that's something I've been on many radio shows recently talking about, this very topic, that through the CIA, through the NSA, through all of the other 20 or so alphabet agencies that spy on you out there, and as it is going on, they've infiltrated everything and controlled the message. at the core of this, and now this is getting up to the Matt Damon movie, which came out this weekend. Matt Damon goes to Mars. It's this, NASA's been just, oh boy, isn't this great? They're riding this wave to keep their money coming because doggone, they're going to Mars in 2050. You know, most of us be dead by the time that rolls around, including all the workers at NASA. They don't have to do anything. They get their money, and they can draw pretty pictures, and which I think is ironic, too, because the movie with Matt Damon in it is sure realistic. That, to me, proves that NASA and Hollywood can put together a script and a, you know, a landing mission on Mars and never go there. All done in Hollywood studios. Isn't that special? And the doggone, couldn't that have happened back in the 60s after Stanley Kubrick did the movie 2001? He got another job that most of us didn't know about at the time. That was producing the lunar landing movie out in the studio out in the middle of Arizona. And so anyway, the that's another story. But let's get back to Velikovsky. The core of this issue is that, number one, science has been whitewashed. And I go to these meetings. I still go occasionally just to kind of show up. But the American Geophysical Union meetings, you got 20,000 professors and university research PhDs, and they're associated with NASA and all these alphabet soup agencies, National Science Foundation. Then you got the news media from Discover Magazine and the New York Times and the National Geographic, and they're all there with dressed up and, you know, getting their tier two science information. This is all tier two science. And I stopped going because I just couldn't stand being around these people who were sleepwalking. Scientists, they'd schlock up to you with their old baggy clothes on, and they'd give a talk, and it was like this, and it was like they were sleeping. fluoride drugged or something, maybe worse. I don't know what they're giving these people. But just the brain had stopped working long, long ago. And like I say on my webpage, their last real thought occurred before they bought their last suit of clothes, which they're still wearing, because they don't have to do anything. They get tenure. They just fall back in place, and they, you know, publish papers. They have their graduate students. And I'll be commenting about the Nobel Prize here. Two of them, the Nobel Prize in Physics and Chemistry. Hopefully I'll get that commentary in this night, but I don't want to interrupt this train of thought here. Getting back to Velikovsky. So I keep winding back to the real story here. When a little side note in Velikovsky's story was the fact, and this is a fact, and many people will be saying, well, I don't believe that. And my comment is, based on what? Have you been to Mars? Have you studied Mars? Have you looked at all the pictures and the evidence of the vast dust storms that occur on Mars every year and destroy, completely fill in large craters? You know, craters that are 20 miles across don't last long on Mars. And so I have one picture that they forgot to Photoshop out this riverbed. You have this vast crater, probably, I think it's about 17 miles across, and it's filled in with dust and almost completely destroyed because of dust storms. Right next to it is this little meandering river, right in the same picture, right next to it. And so how did that riverbed manage to survive 4 or 2 billion years or whatever they're saying of dust storms on Mars and still survive? Well, it couldn't. It couldn't last even a couple thousand years. And you find all of this geological record on Mars of water. And this is what I'm saying. NASA completely ignored that in their announcement on the 28th. But what was the point of that announcement? Immediately after saying they've discovered water on Mars, the next sentence they say, oh, but the real water on Mars was billions of years ago. So that's the 90-degree left-hand turn that they always do. in these articles, these planned articles. Now remember that NASA scientists and standard scientists cannot walk up to a microphone and say anything. This is all planned, coordinated. And we've even seen where the European Space Agency scientists on the Rosetta mission are trying to say something, and the news media just talks right over them. Dirty Snowball Comet, Little Wanderer, Icy Wanderer, etc. But back to Mars, back to Velikovsky. The real story with Velikovsky, and this is very important to understand, the entourage of nutcases that have jumped up around Velikovsky. Now, I knew personally a guy named Warner Sizemore. I have him in my 18-hour, 2-CD set, MP3, 18 hours of MP3 recordings of my lectures and education. 2 of those hours are interviews with Warner Sizemore. Warner Sizemore was Velikovsky's personal assistant, you might say. He calls himself secretary, but literally he fielded the calls, he recorded the talks by Velikovsky, he maintained the tapes, he knew everybody that in the book industry at Doubleday, for example, that were associated with the Velikovsky books, that were, by the way, the largest best-selling books in the history of Doubleday, translated into 14 languages, the 3 books, Worlds in Collisions, Earth in Upheaval, and Ages in Chaos, the biggest-selling books that Doubleday ever had. And that's a whole story in itself. But through the ages, through the 70s, when they had the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, where they Sagan got all the boys together to bury Velikovsky. It was a planned event. They invited him, and the whole purpose was to bury him with every field of science represented by experts, headed by Carl Sagan, and to show that Velikovsky couldn't possibly be true. His story about Venus being a comet, and etc. But what was behind all of this? How come Carl Sagan then all of a sudden gets whisked off to Hollywood to do the Cosmos series? The Cosmos series was the biggest disinformation science campaign in the history of the world. I mean, they put serious money into this, and it was happening when I was at Cornell, making and publishing my papers on my work. Now, these papers were peer-reviewed in science journals, astrophysics journals, and the head of the math department at Cornell told me I was the only faculty member at Cornell math department to ever be published in a peer-reviewed astrophysics journal. Now, that's not a small statement. That is a major accomplishment, but I got stuffed, and I never knew why, and here's one of my points. I didn't know who Velikovsky was. I was doing my work, doing my research, and I couldn't figure out why I had all this unbelievable resistance and just anger, outright violent anger at what I was doing. So then later, I was telling a friend of mine who's a writer, I said, I was telling him about what was going on in my work and my research results, that comets were not dirty snowballs and that they could, the big ones could become planets. And my friend goes, "Oh, that sounds like this Velikovsky guy." And I go, "Well, what's that?" And he goes, "Well, Velikovsky wrote these books about Venus, and he had read them. He was a very well-read person." He says, "What you're talking about sounds like this Velikovsky guy." And I went and I looked. And oddly enough, even though Cornell University has a Library of Congress, recognized Library of Congress, it has the original Gutenberg Bible. I mean, they have everything there down in the Cornell stacks that are underground there. When I was there, they still had the old Rotunda Library. That's where I did a lot of my work, is up in there. It was beautiful. Very rarely were there people in there. Only at study time at the end of the semesters were the students in there, just all over the place. But I was spent a lot of time in there, especially early mornings. It was beautiful. Big rotunda room with big hardwood tables. But they had every book on the planet in that library, but they had surgically removed the Velikovsky books. They were in the card catalog, mind you, but the books themselves had been removed. Very interesting. Okay, so back to the Velikovsky story. What did Velikovsky say that got him in trouble? Well, what I know now and what I'm announcing on this show tonight is that his statements about Mars were not accepted, not exactly welcome by the inner communities of the secret societies. That is the core issue. And also that Earth had been affected on two occasions by this major comet. This all hits at the number one, the central, you would call this like devil worship that's going on in these societies. Now, the Catholic Church is being called on the carpet. Now, you got to separate the Catholic Church because there's all of these good Christians out there. Right now, just this last couple of days, there's a priest that worked, I don't know what his rank is, but I think he's at least a priest level, came out and said he's gay and he wants the Vatican to come into this century and accept gays. But the issue of pedophilia with ingrained in the upper structure of the Catholic Church for literally hundreds of years has been the issue of pedophilia, using young boys. Well, you know, and this is what the Pope got attacked on because of the international problems that the Catholic Church is having. So there again, you got to separate the people out there, the good Christians, the Catholics who go to church and do, you know, all of this, from the historical record that's been going on in the Vatican. But literally, the Vatican got taken over a long, long time ago, literally over 1,000 years ago, by a group of people who've been maintaining it and keeping the word, the real word, away from the public. And part of this is, for example, the Noah's Flood. They don't teach the Noah's Flood. I asked a pastor one time, I go to services sometimes with friends, and so afterwards, you know, you're all walking out, they shake your hand, say good day and everything. And so I took this guy aside and I said, hey, what do you guys teach about the Noah's Flood? And he goes, well, you got to understand, you know, sure, we kind of teach that, but, you know, we don't really teach that as what you'd call truth. There could be some mythological similarities that the people were mistaken. And he just totally blew it off. Totally. This is the Catholic Church. And then I asked him, well, what about Moses? Oh, yeah, that too. We don't really talk about that. That's just kind of, you know, one of those things that, yeah. And so the two biggest events in man's history, the Noah's Flood, which, for example, when Ignatius Donnelly was a lieutenant governor of Minnesota in the 1880s, during the Civil War era, when Minnesota was just developing, they saw the ravaging results of a great flood, and they all the naturalists talk about it. But after the 1900s, the Industrial Revolution and the just carving up of the Old West by the people had destroyed all evidence of the big logs and the forests that were literally washed away, etc. All of this, and then the North American continent was heavily glaciated. You have to remember, just a few thousand years ago, where did these big glaciers all of a sudden come from? Did the Earth just jump up and do this by itself? Well, of course not. This is what, along with the Noah's Flood, came the huge snow. I mean, part of this came in as snow and developed those huge glaciers. And then some of them melted, but they were still melting thousands of years later. They were still seeing some of the last remaining Earth glaciers melting away. And there's good evidence that before Noah, for example, there weren't rainbows. So the atmosphere was totally different on Earth. But what are the two key issues here? Number one, the Mars recent life on Mars issue is core and central to the Vatican's devil worship, and that's literally what's going on. This is coming out more and more, and the pedophilia issue is just the tip of the iceberg. They haven't gotten into the real issues. But like I said, and this is probably coming as a big surprise to a lot of people out there listening, but part of the Pope's agenda when he was visiting New York this past week, on his agenda, publicly released agenda, was to talk about what we call the alien issue, that the Vatican and through NASA, and you have to understand that science, astronomy, astrophysics, space science, and the alien issue are on the tippity top of the issue dealing with, that the Vatican deals with. And so Velikovsky's work hit right at the core. Number one, if you, the public out there, realize that these space-based events can happen on a large scale, and we're not talking about a little asteroid colliding into Earth. That's what most people associate with space-based disasters today. That's a total cover story and just total misinformation. Sure, that can happen, but the big events are when the big comets come by, rolling through the solar system. That's why they demoted Pluto from being a planet, because if they admitted Pluto was a planet, then they'd have to admit that there's hundreds of other planets like Pluto out beyond there. And so they didn't want to do that, and so now Pluto is not a planet officially. I saw a kid studying the other about a week ago, and the lesson showed the solar system with eight planets. But what was the bigger stone that Velikovsky stepped on? And that is the Mars issue, that Mars was a planet with water and it was recent. Now, what does the Matt Damon movie, what's the subliminal message? First of all, that it's going to be another 30 years before we go to Mars with a man, one man that the only a government program can send. And so, and certainly NASA has been riding this wave every day. They're tweeting, oh, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Mars. You know, where we have this program going on and all of this other stuff. NASA has been getting a lot of mileage out of this. Like I say, what it proved to me is that NASA and Hollywood can put together a very realistic movie of a Mars landing. They don't have to go there. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that. That's a side issue. The real issue here is that Velikovsky, if you look at some of the timing on this, this is timed with the reduction of you to a workforce with 40 other countries, and this is not bringing them up to the United States level. This is bringing the United States worker down to the level of 40 other international countries in the third world. That's what it's all about. So there's workers and there's leaders. And believe me, for the vast majority of you listening out there, you're not going to be the leaders. They're already chosen, the families, etc. So anyway, back to the central issue. Why is it so important to keep the public stupid about Mars? Now, last week on my show, I started out by talking about the flat Earth teachings of the Middle Ages. Now, let's go back to the Middle Ages. I talked about Columbus going across the ocean, and he had a band of sailors with him. All the sailors thought that the Earth was flat, and they were going to sail off the edge and go over the edge. And Columbus had to contain this. Columbus knew, as did all the royalty and the intelligent people of the day, and well, I shouldn't say intelligent, I get the upper crust, the people who had been educated, they all knew that the world was round. So why were they comfortable having a populace that thought that the earth was flat? Well, the young, energetic youth of the day would not be building a ship and sailing off to the horizon to discover their fortune if they thought they were going to sail off the edge and all die. Wasn't a good idea. Not a good plan. So it was a way of mentally containing them from ever thinking about going in that ship and off. And the same thing is going on today. They are creating a flat Earth theory regarding Mars. And now let me be specific. Mars is a desolate place, but it's being reformed very fast. It's the Martian atmosphere is regaining very fast, just like the Earth's glaciers are melting very fast and getting back to what it was. But it's going to be a long time, probably certainly not in our lifetimes, that Mars would terraform. Now, there are ways and techniques that I've developed, and I've publicly stated this, that if you took and created the discharge of the solar capacitor in the vicinity of Mars, you would accelerate the accumulation of atmosphere and water on Mars. And so this recent water on Mars may be due to that accumulation and have nothing to do with historical water on Mars at all, if you understand. So this is a whole nother issue. But if you were able to extend the electric field, if you were able to discharge the solar capacitor using a technique, and there are various techniques that I've developed to do this, in the vicinity of Mars, you could accelerate the atmosphere and oceans recovery period from maybe millions of years to down to 1,000 years, possibly, or maybe less. Who knows? We don't know. If it developed as a large comet, we know that when comet Siding Spring went by Mars recently, the atmosphere of Mars increased greatly overnight. And they saw this happening, and NASA actually announced it. NASA actually announced during the Pluto flyby that they now know that Venus and Mars have comet tails, and that Pluto acts like a comet. They actually announced it, and this is something I've been talking about since my earliest days, that the misnomer of planets with magnetic fields like Earth or Jupiter or Saturn, they talk about a magnetic tail. Well, no, Venus, Mercury, and Mars and Pluto all act like comets. They don't have magnetic fields significant. They might have a little trace of a magnetic field. So this idea of a magnetosheath is totally incorrect. What they're actually measuring is the magnetic field that's due to the electric current that's passing in the discharge. And, of course, they're slip-sliding, trying to slip this in, and as that has been going on, this is what I call the creeping crud. Over the last 30 years, NASA has adopted many of my concepts just by sliding them in. They start out in some kind of news release that just comes out in the news media, and all of a sudden it's there, and everybody's talking about it like they knew it all along. Isn't that swell? But anyway, back to the mission of Mars, the Matt Damon movie. What is the subliminal message? Number one, Mars is a desolate planet. Yeah, but it's in that message is that Mars has been like this for a long time. We're talking billions of years. And so don't ever think about Mars being a place where there was human life within the last maybe 10,000 years, commensurate with the population of Atlantis, the pre-Noah's flood Earth population, which we know was very large, and which was very devastated also. It wasn't a fun place to live. The Russell Crowe movie Noah does a very good job of depicting that. And they even show a world map where the human population of Earth had grown like a virus, destroyed everything in its path, like has happened in India. When I was a kid, India was a place with lions and tigers and elephants and jungle, and there ain't nothing left. That's the level of pre-Noah flood days. And that's what makes a lot of people think that we're cruising for a bruising here. But in all of the end day prophecies, what do they talk about? They talk about look up in the sky, look for the signs that the firmament will be shaken. Well, what can cause that? A little asteroid colliding with Earth? No, that's a very local event. In an asteroid, even if it's a bigger one, all that energy is absorbed locally, and at most material is blasted out, and a lot of it would actually go out into outer space. And this idea that Earth would burn as a big vast fire is not true, simply not true. Even the massive crater that happened in the Yucatan did not even kill off the local dinosaur population, let alone the whole world population of dinosaurs like they're talking about. And that's been proven. They found the remaining dinosaurs did quite well after the crater was formed in the Yucatan. The local dinosaur population didn't even die off, let alone the worldwide dinosaur population. So all the computer modeling, that magical word, computer modeling, gee, if NASA did a computer model, it must be correct, right? Or like atmospheric modeling, etc. There's so many issues here, but getting back to Mars in the Matt Damon movie, what's the subliminal message? That only NASA can go there, and with this big, expansive program that would last decades, you know, when, hey, wait a minute, boys and girls, it took them 6 years to get to the moon back in the 1960s. How come they, you know, not even 6 years from the time Kennedy said it, they went in 1969, supposedly, the Apollo program. So what's the decades and decades baloney now? Well, obviously, they don't know how to do it. They, you know, there's some problems here. And so anyway, this is the issue that hey, only NASA can go there. Only the billions and billions of dollars in a government program with government scientists can go there. So don't you think about going there. You will never do it. I get a kick out of Elon Musk, and I praise a lot of the stuff he does, but also he's associated with the CIA and Google and Fidelity Investments and all of that baloney, where they are doing, you know, backdoor military contracts, and who knows what these people are up to. When you get a private organization like Google, which is really CIA owned, and then doing, you know, secret military work, you have Mark Zuckerberg making the top 10 list of richest people in the world for selling your Facebook information to the NSA. That's the central tracking agency. And by the way, if you noticed 2 weeks ago, the Facebook went down for an entire day internationally. That was loading new software, new tracking and new control software. When Zuckerman met with the president or the chancellor of Germany recently, the question was asked, is everything in place to control the Arab issue in Germany so that the public sentiment cannot be transmitted via Facebook? And he said, yes, everything's in place. And that's what the big software upgrade was all about with Facebook. Remember, Skype went down, had big problems there for about a week. Those were all software upgrades, transparent to you, the user, but that's what it was all about. Anybody that has worked in the computer industry like I have knows what a software upgrade looks like. That's what it was all about. So all of these social media have been upgraded to track you and all of your movements and all of your friends' movements and everything about you. And that's part of also reducing the American worker to the level of 40 other third world countries. This is all happening at once, boys and girls. So the trap sprung closed on the first day of Shemitah, this past September 23rd, capped by the Pope's visit on the 27th and 28th of, actually starting from about the 23rd, he came to the United States a few days later, I understand, and did his tour, culminating with the meeting with Obama. And so this was all basically encapsulating you into this giant international workforce. UN agendas going on here very much. Okay, so back to the Mars story. What does this have to do with Mars? Okay, so now what I'm going to do is tell you how a comet can extract the atmosphere from a planet. And in the case of Earth, when the comet Venus came by Earth, it actually, Earth's surface gravity was larger than that of Venus, so we had a tremendous pollution event. We took on water, we took on oil, the burning fire and naphtha that came into the atmosphere. Earth had a tremendous pollution event. In other words, gravitationally, Earth won the tug of war of the tail of Venus, which was a rather rapid event. It didn't last long, but the damage was extreme. The Noah's flood occurred thousands of years earlier, and probably a very different comet. We don't know much about the history of the Noah's flood comet. We do know, in fact, I had made a mention in my Hale-Bopp release that came out If you want more information on this besides this show, by the way, my July 23rd release, Hillbop, Planet X Harrington Expedition Update, and then also that's on my webpage. And then also that one, by the way, you can get for free with any purchase of over $250. And with the water filters, the 10 packs on sale and the stainless steel water filters on sale, that's not hard to do. Buy either one of those and then you get the Hale-Bopp release free. That's a way of getting it, something, a bonus. And it's, if you buy it just singly, it's $24.95. But also the 18 CD set, the 18 hours of lectures, MP3 lectures, the two CD set, it's called The Physics of Ancient Celestial, the Physics of Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters is the actual full title. And it talks about Velikovsky, it talks about Warner Sizemore, it talks about Atlantis, Noah's Flood, it talks about the Moses event, the Venus event, and many other, it talks about the Mayans, the Incas, it goes into ancient archaeology. Yeah, it's packed. 18 hours, very good set of lectures, but it goes into a lot of these details, which I really don't have time to repeat on this show. So how does a comet extract the atmosphere from a planet? That sounds like a pretty tall tale. Well, if you understand, the nucleus of the comet, first of all, is not something little, dirty snowball. Total misinformation from NASA. If you understand, that nucleus is the size of the planet Venus, which is larger than Mars. Now, that's the ticket. If you took them and put Venus next to Mars, Mars would be about the size of a tennis ball. Venus would be about the size of a big, big grapefruit or a softball, something like that. Or maybe a baseball to softball comparison, Mars to Venus. Mars is smaller. And the surface gravity on Mars, if you were standing on Mars, your weight would be much less than if you could stand on the surface of Venus, which of course you cannot because it's a steaming hot planet with sulfuric acid raining down hot enough to melt lead. Venus is a brand new planet. And of course, part of standard science is to keep this so foreign from the public that when you start hearing this and the real story, you go, well, I don't even believe that. It's just too crazy a story. Well, that's because you've been fed a crazier story that couldn't possibly make sense, but that's what your frame of reference is, something that could not even make sense. Okay, so as the large comet, which has a huge comet tail, it's attracting the material in this comet tail and growing, comes by Mars. Here's little planet Mars out there in space all by itself, minding its own business. Here comes this big comet next to it. And they connect electrically. So there's Venus' electrical sheath is very much charged, and it connects electrically with the planet Mars. Now you have an electrical connection. So there's a free ability of the gases, anything gaseous, to flow. Who's going to win this tug of war? Well, it's going to be Venus because its surface gravity is larger. It's literally, through that electrical connection, it's going to pull the atmosphere and oceans off of Mars. And this is literally what the ancients talk about. They talk about the comet coming by, the electrical discharge reaching out to Mars. And if you want to know what it looked like, take your arm and extend it and put your fingers together and your thumb on the other side, like you're grabbing a baseball with your all four fingers on one side and your thumb on the other side. It looks like a snake's head. Do that right now. Take your arm, extend it out. Wrap your hands around an imaginary baseball, or take an orange or something, or a baseball in your hand. Four fingers on one side, your thumb on the other. It looks like a big snake head with this planet in its grasp, and that's what they describe. So the aurora's up in the upper atmosphere. And then it just literally sucked the oceans and atmosphere. Without the atmosphere, there was nothing to hold the ocean in place, so it vaporized. Within a single night, Mars became the red planet that we talk about. But the crux of the issue is that, and now I wasn't there myself, but there's good evidence that the secret scientific missions, the scientific missions to Mars that you don't see, because this is all Tier 1 science, What they pawn off on you, the public, is this little rover driving around, and everybody's, ooh, look at that picture of Mars and all that. That ain't what's going on. That's what they pawn off on you, the public. What's really going on is they're going back and discovering the ruins, the Mayan-like cities and other archaeological sites that are there, and they're studying this because they want to know about the history. Atlantis has been found. It was found many years ago in the South China Sea, and they've been studying that. They have the submarine bases out of northern Australia perusing and extracting all of the artifacts from those sites from Atlantis. This is all being held by the secret societies. While they're telling you that, oh, the world's been here for billions of years and nothing has happened since. That's the story, the flat earth story they pawn off on you, the public. But the other crux issue of Velikovsky is they pay and surround him with a bunch of total ludicrous idiots. And I know a lot of the Velikovsky people, there's some good people in there, but there's a lot of nutcases. A guy named Dave Talbot has made his entire life's living, guy's never held a job, off of basically copying Velikovsky's work, jumping up and down and making a complete fool out of himself. Well, that's the entire story, and that's the purpose of doing this, is to destroy Velikovsky's work and name. And so the whole point here is that there's a lot of effort into disinformation, and whatever it is, it's been infiltrated. By the way, that's why I work alone. I know they do that. And so it's very difficult to work with people who don't understand this, even if they're good people. They don't understand what infiltration is. I just had an event a couple of weeks ago where a guy from the NSA tried to infiltrate me and try and redo my webpage. I mean, it's just coming at me from all directions. Okay, so that's basically tonight's show. I want to talk a little bit about two things that I'm very excited about on my webpage. Carrot Bars is something that is a very good program. It's a way for you to hedge some of your hard-earned money in real gold. It's gold for the general masses, and it's a really good program. Also, it's a way for you to buy gold, but if you want a business, also it has a very good marketing program. Also, this product that called Via Viente. Now, this I'm very excited about, and very many other people are getting very excited about this. The link is on my webpage on the column on the right-hand side. I have a little write-up. There's a little write-up from Dr. Mercola about the advantages of antioxidants, etc., that are in Via Viente. But also has a super marketing and commission program where you can make a second stream of income. And in fact, I have people who are actually doing both Via Vientes and Carrot Bars. They actually support each other, which is very interesting to see. So go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Remember the big sale on water filters. That's only for this week, so you better hit it this weekend. The stainless steel water filter with four filter GF elements, and then the 10 packs of GF elements are on super sale. And then sign up for Carrot Bars and Via Viente. All that information on my webpage. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.